Welcome back, everyone. This is the Talking Absolute Nonsense, or as we call it, the Talking Twats podcast, joined by myself, Richie Skills, and the one, the only, Matthew Connabeer, the huge Ferrari fan who's got a big Cheshire Cat grin on his face from the last round. Coming into this one, high expectations, Matt. How are you feeling? How are you doing? And what is going on?
Hi, I'm feeling great. Because Formula One is so much better than it used to be. My team didn't get the win today. It was a bit of a shame. We were leading for so long. But yeah, it's the new cars. The racing is so much better. I'm a fan of the new Formula One, Rich. I don't know about yourself, but I'm loving it.
Well, I would be a bigger fan if the silver arrows weren't so far languishing behind. But we'll get into a bit of that a bit later on, as you can see. Mercedes and Ferrari, we are missing Noah today. We wish you well, and we hope to have the Red Bull and the Dutch perspective back in the following weeks as well. But yeah, a great change in the regulations. It's always concerning, Matt, that maybe, you know, someone gets the jump. We thought maybe the Mercedes with this radical package would maybe blow everyone away. Sandbagging throughout testing wasn't to be. And we're getting some really close racing. Even in free practice and stuff, it's separated by less than a tenth of a second. And they're really going hammer and tong for it. So let's get into it, Matt. Close racing throughout in this Jeddah circuit. Worried going in personally. We saw in qualifying what happened as well. Maybe this touch on qualifying. I don't know what you want to do, but a great race, great spectacle today.
Yeah, okay, we will touch on quali just before we sort of run through the race order. Three key highlights from quali, of course. We'll discuss, first of all, Q2. I'm not going to do it in order because that'd be stupid. Q2, Mick Schumacher with a big off in the at the end of the first sector. That was scary stuff watching him fly off into those walls. I don't know whether the tracks, when they designed it, whether they thought someone was going to crash there or not, because he spun off very quickly and definitely didn't slow down a lot before hitting the wall. And it's a dangerous circuit. And I think maybe it's a bit too dangerous for Formula One standards.
Yeah, as it's been spoken about, Jeddah can get away with a few more things because they throw a few more dollar bills at the situation. And we've seen them move the barriers further back this year, make a few more improvements in terms of safety. Cars are slightly slower in the mid to lower speed, but this is a high speed circuit. And yeah, the nature of them curbs really threw Mick into the barriers. Concerning to see the car fall apart, but it's designed to do that. It took the impact, and Mick, credit to him. They weren't going to race for reasons we'll get into later. But yeah, great qualifying. You said Q2. We was missing someone from Q2, weren't we, Matt?
I think we were. I wonder who that might be. Do you want to talk us through Q1? I heard you were loving life in qualifying.
I was absolutely shocked. I was listening to it on the radio, in actual fact, as I was out with the family. And yeah, just shocked that he went so radical on the setup and just got it completely wrong. I expected him to maybe switch up. Potential pit lane start didn't happen for the race itself. But yeah, big shock. What else did we have shock-wise? Let's brush over that one, Matt.
Wow. Look at the Mercedes fan brushing over Hamilton Q1 exit. Yeah, I don't know what was wrong with Lewis. I think he was just not at one with the car at all. In Q1, George Russell managed to get himself up into what, P6? Well done, George. Good lap.
Great effort.
But the end of qualifying, the big shock of them all, there's a Red Bull on pole, and it wasn't Max Verstappen. Sergio Perez pulling out the big lap when it mattered. Perez has never been good at qualifying, and all of a sudden, he's just rocked up to Jeddah and pulled out a monster of a lap. And stolen pole from the Ferraris. I was well impressed with that from Checo.
Dare I say, if Max Verstappen had strung that lap together and it was one less one on the front of the car, I reckon they would have called that the perfect lap after almost getting it right last year. He got it right this year, but it was the Mexican Sergio Checo Perez pole position. And it was, he said he couldn't have done it in another 1,000 laps. Absolute scenes. But, yeah, the pole position, it's not always done, is it? You think maybe a bit difficult on the start of the race. You can get away, but yeah, absolute scenes of a lap that was, and a big surprise. We thought Leclerc had it in the bag. Monster lap from him as well. The Ferraris looked on the pace. Sainz still can't quite match his teammate. He did, was it the first lap in Q3, was it? That he pulled it out quite nicely, Sainz. But then when they switched, we saw this, this was a trend. Switching onto the new tyre, it was very Marmite for some drivers. Some drivers liked it, some didn't. And we saw that with Sainz as well. He couldn't extract the lap time. And we saw a couple of drivers go on a couple of like prep laps, didn't we, Matt? Like to get the tyre bedded in properly.
Yeah, for sure. It was really weird. And I remember watching FP3 and some guys were doing like 5 warm-up laps before actually going for a fly. It was really weird. And a lot of questions were raised going to qualifying of how are they going to prepare the tyres? And in the end, I don't think the teams and drivers really knew how to do it going to the session. Because like you say, we ended up with guys who would come out on brand new tyres and be slower than people who were on a used set. I don't know, maybe a tyre that's been through a heat cycle already was better to warm up. I don't know. I'm not a tyre expert, but it was really weird. And in the end, in Q3, like we say, it was Perez who managed to get the tyres working. Verstappen couldn't. And at the Ferrari camp as well, in the end, Leclerc got them working. Sainz, for the second week in a row, he was good for the first lap of Q3 and then threw it away in the second. I hope that doesn't sort of become a repeating trend for him, because it's not going to bode well for him through a whole season.
Yeah, you'd rather do it that way than put it in the barrier, maybe bin it on your first lap. He's getting the bankers in, but on the second one, he's looking like a bit of a wanker. So let's hope he can turn that form around, because it's strongly siding with Leclerc, and the longer this trend goes on, the worse it's going to be for him in the championship. Of course, the race is a different story. And it was one hell of a race, Matt. Thoroughly enjoyable throughout. Action, not at the front of the pack to start with, but where are we going to do this? We're going to run through the grid. What would you like to do now?
Let's go from... Have you got your... I've got the standings up here. We will run from the bottom of the race result, all right? And we will talk about each driver's individual performance and skills shown throughout the event. Or lack of skills if you're Yuki Tsunoda and didn't make the start. Bit of a shame for him. He had problems yesterday as well, didn't he?
That's just harsh, man. Lack of skills. Lack of an engine, by the way. You know, oil pressure failure that we was hearing. And once again, concerns for that Red Bull Honda power unit, however you want to garnish that one there. But concerns once again, considering there's only 4 of them on the grid, and one of them didn't even get to start the race. But yeah, harsh on Yuki.
Yeah, for real. He had the issue yesterday as well, I think, in qualifying. Just really harsh luck for Yuki. I don't know. Good luck for Australia, I guess. Not really much we can talk about for the little man today. So we will swiftly move on to next up the order. The first retirement of the Grand Prix, Nicholas Latifi. Pretty unimpressive all weekend. And in the end, finished his race prematurely, like he did in qualifying, finding a barrier. Just a bit of a shit weekend for him, really. There's not much more to say.
I think we can start scoring the drivers now. I mean, we're going to do it out of 10. We're going to give him an ABCDF1, or we're going to, how do you want to do that? Because the Latifi, they moved the barrier further back. He still managed to find the barrier. What was he? Had a snap of oversteer, overcorrected it, found the barrier. Yeah, poor from me. I'd give him like maybe at best a 3 out of 10 for the weekend from this guy. Much improvement, dude. And Albon absolutely bossing him at the minute.
Yeah, for sure. I'm with you with Latifi. I think it's either a 2 or a 3 out of 10. There's just nothing impressive. Nothing for me to look at and go, oh, he did all right there this weekend. He's just poor. And interestingly enough, a Latifi crash causing a safety car that cost one driver more than the others. I think you might have been having some flashbacks there, Richie. But yeah, overall, poor weekend.
Yes,
the Vietnam flashbacks.
We don't hold any grudges. He can't help it. He just doesn't have the skills or the quality to you know, keep the car on the road, especially when the walls are that close. We saw it in Abu Dhabi. We've seen it again here. And yeah, he's getting shown up already. So poor from him. Moving swiftly on.
Yeah, we got Ricciardo next, who the next three drivers, by the way, all DNF with mechanical issues at the same time, which is really weird. Yeah. It's like, what happened there? We were all fine, and then everybody just blew up at once. Very weird. Either way.
Yeah, very weird. Yeah. But maybe that cool down period, you know, with the safety car, we saw it in the last race as well. Maybe these new power units are not inclined to it. We've seen overheating issues. What car was it that we saw it come up on, Matt?
That was the, Alonso. I want to say it was the Alpine.
Yeah, Alonso's car, wasn't it? I think it went into like a limp home mode. And I was very scared at that point because you went through some high speed sectors as well. Mm. And you wouldn't want to be a leader or a fast car approaching that and you know, blindsided and you could really rear end someone. So I would have hoped he would have pulled off at one point. Maybe for Hamilton's sake at the same time. But it wasn't to be. And yeah, he trundled back to the pits as well.
Yeah, just not ideal. Coming back to Mr. Ricciardo, better weekend for McLaren overall. Daniel, again, I think he was a bit off of Lando, but not miles away. There's an improvement. He's getting a 5 out of 10 from me. Didn't do anything wrong all race, just nothing special before the car blew up. What about yourself?
Yeah, I would agree with a 5 out of 10. It was pretty ominous from the weekend. Didn't do anything drastically wrong, but nothing drastically right. So we'll put him slap bang in the middle and we'll just say, do better next time.
Yeah, agreed. Then moving up to Fernando Alonso. First half of the race, when he was still in it, lovely stuff. Got to say, the battle with Ocon in those opening stages, I thought they were going to crash. I was getting major Red Bull 2018 Baku vibes. I was like, they're going to race each other hard. And eventually, one of them's going to hit the other and it's going to be absolute carnage. But in the end, the team had to get involved, didn't they?
Yeah, the team had to get involved. The thing I love about Opner is he comes on the radio and he tells it as he is. Like he said, like, we're going to let him race. We're going to let him get on with it. And I'm glad we have him on the grid. Between the pair of them, I think Ocon, some of it was highly questionable, his racing. Especially when he shut the door down towards turn one, was it? Mm. And I think Alonso will go and have a few stern words with this guy across the garage after the race. Some of Ocon's driving was desperate at times. And Alonso, he's plucky, he's calculated, he's cool. But yeah, wasn't impressed with it. They weren't playing the team game very well. You expect one of them to come on the radio and say, okay, we're going to settle down at some point, but they got the elbows out, and at the end of the day, they lost a lot of track time for it, I think, Matt.
Yep, I absolutely agree with you. It was great to watch, but from a team perspective, you just kept seeing them battle, and then, oh, now Bottas is in the picture, and oh, now Magnussen's in the picture, just costing each other big, big time. And I think that battle really quite well reflects the situation in that team at the moment. They're both clearly battling it out to be the number one driver. You know, Ocon, if he can go above Fernando and do better than Fernando, then he can go better than anyone. If Fernando is the man in the team, he will not want to finish second to anyone. And I don't think that'll be the last time we see the two of them getting a bit too close for Otmar's liking on track this season, I don't think.
No, I don't think so, but yeah, good performance. Alpine showing some improvements this weekend and back on the front foot once again. Alonso and Ocon, I'll probably give Ocon maybe a 6 out of 10, maybe Alonso a 7 for the weekend. I think they've both done a good job with the car, but the car's coming alive and Alpine seem to be on the front foot this weekend.
Yep, I would agree with that. 7 for Alonso, 6 for Ocon. And then quickly, last of the DNFs, Valtteri Bottas, 6 out of 10. He was doing all right. He was having a decent time. Not quite as strong as Bahrain, but he was doing all right until the car gave up on him.
Yeah, I think that's a bit harsh. I'd go with a 7 to match his 77. I think qualifying, the pace was there in the car. Better start than last week. Remember last week out, he had a terrible start off the line. Zhao was complaining of the similar issues as well this week. He got mugged for a couple down into T1. But Bottas through no fault of his own. Yeah, lost out on potentially some good points today. And yeah, good pace in the car. My pre-race prediction of with Alfa Romeo being at the back of the grid is completely out the window at this point. And race to be seen come the end of the season. But I'll give Bottas a 7.
Yeah. Our pre-race predictions are pretty embarrassing, aren't they, some of them? And we laughed at Noah when he put McLaren 5th. Oh, dear. He was not far from it. That's... Oh, dear. Yeah. Moving on. Moving up the order. 14th. And he did DNF, but it was, like, on the last lap, pretty much. Alexander Albon. 7 out of 10. Did all he could in the Williams. I think the Williams is, I'd probably say, the slowest car this year. I think it's there, probably battling between them and Aston Martin to be slowest, if I'm honest. And yeah, he did all he could, but in the end, what can you do?
Yeah, I'd hover between a 6 or a 7. If we're feeling generous, I'd give him a 7. Yeah, definitely the team leader this year. He's dragging that car up the grid. And who would have thought having a Mercedes power unit in the back looks like a bit more of a hindrance than a gain in this this season? Let's see how the power units look, though, in the long term. You know, maybe they have a bit more longevity in that Merc. Maybe not. But, yeah, not looking good in a straight line drag with these guys at the minute. But, yeah, we'll go with a 7 for Albon.
Yeah, interesting you say that about Mercedes engines as well. It must be with the new fuel. Because I don't think anything else has changed with engines going into this season, right? It's just crazy that Mercedes have dropped down.
Well, what was it they'd done away with? Was it the MGUK or the MGUH? It was one of them. I can't remember exactly. I always get confused between the pair of them. But there was a... I'm sure they stripped back one of them to make them a bit more simpler, a bit more cost-effective, and a bit more real-to-life sort of engine specs. But yeah, we've gone up to 10% biofuel in the car. And that was a potential concern with the Red Bull issue that we saw last week, etc. And yeah, other teams have benefited from it. And we can't change it now. We can't change it. We're locked in for the fuel. We're locked in for the engines as well. So we're going to have to run what we got, unless it's a big reliability issue, which they could potentially change. But doesn't seem that way so far.
Yeah, I agree. Not looking good. If you've got Mercedes power, moving on, P13. Daddy's cash, Lance Stroll. I mean, he took out Alexander Albon, so that's just not good from him. Pretty meh weekend. 4 out of 10, because he took out Albon.
I thought it was a dive bomb. That's what Stroll said on the radio. He just dive bombed me. No, I need to tell a word. The car was alongside. He left the door open. He should have slammed it shut way before that, but that's, again, a bit of his... naivety in terms of racing. Yeah, it's hard to judge him as well because we don't have Seb alongside him. We wish you well, Seb. We hope to have you back very soon in the car. And he's just happy, chilling, living his best life at home. I'll give Stroll, I'll go with a 5 for me. You're too harsh, mate. Yeah.
Well, all right, fair enough. I'll allow it. Speaking of Seb, pretty confident this is going to be his last year in Formula One with the Aston Martin, as diabolical as it is. I don't see him sticking it out another year. Do you?
He's looking an old man at the minute, isn't he? He looks like he's already got his slippers on, just with a pipe, put his feet up, and he's going to grow a beer belly. And yeah, he's going to sail into retirement at some point.
Yeah. So, yeah. Absolutely. Speaking of Seb, next up, P12, Vettel's replacement for the weekend, Nico Hülkenberg. Again, he was all right, I guess. I think without the... Obviously, hasn't been training properly like a Formula One driver for a while, so his neck most certainly would have been killing him. He beat Stroll. I guess that's a positive, so I'd go 5 out of 10. It was nothing major from Hülkenberg, maybe a 6 because of the circumstances of he's just jumping in that car. But again, it's nothing special. The Aston Martin is just not good.
Yeah, again, I think it would be a little bit harsh on him if we look at the strategy call. I think he was one of 3 drivers to start on the hard compound of tyre. Safety car came out. I know people said that it was a good time for Lewis. He gained some position on track, but it was also the ideal time for those medium runners to switch over, get their mandatory stop out the way and to go to the end. So I think that really cost him because he was at the front of a train for a long while and he just saw people sail past him on the fresh hard tyre once it got up to temperature. So I'll go with a 7 out of 10. All things considered, you know, hopping in here as a replacement, you know, like you say, he doesn't have the prep work. He does have a race under his belt already. But, yeah, it was a difficult race. Okay, 6. We'll go with 6 because he could have got more out of it if the strategy had been right, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's fair. It's just, yeah, like you say, not much good done. P11, last of the non-point scorers, Guan Yu Zhou, or Zhou Guan Yu, as we're supposed to call him. I qualified, I think, 12th. Had a bad start.
Very poor.
He had that, I tell you what he had. He had that 5-second time penalty. I can't remember what for. What was it for?
The 5-second penalty was for, was it an on-track incident where I think he gained an advantage by leaving the circuit? I think it was early on. Was it with Albon? Because they both like disappeared off the map pretty quickly. Like I think Lewis was behind him at one point. And the next thing, they was trundling further behind. So, yeah, come in for that box then, Matt. And that was the team's mistake, surely.
Yeah, absolutely. Not serving the 5-second penalty. I'm not sure what the situation was, but there was just some confusion going on. But, he then had to take a drive-through penalty because, you know, serve a penalty, they're going to have to increase your penalty, aren't they? Not ideal of him, but not his fault, I guess. So, 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10. He did nothing wrong other than go wide.
Well, he got the penalty in the first place. That was his fault. He come into the pits. They did wait for 5 seconds. However, they touched the car. I think it was the front left. I think the front left man, I think he touched the wheel and went to take the tyre off. From memory, the front jack man didn't engage straight away, but I think they got it wrong in terms of the timing, touching the car. They did sit there and wait, but they completely ballsed it up and then, just hope they winged it and no one would notice. And then, ended up getting a drive-through penalty for not serving it, which is strange because I don't know if that's the way that a 5-second penalty has to be adhered to. If you don't serve it in the pits, then does it get applied to the end of race time? I thought a bit of a vague one there, Matt. Something we'd have to look into.
Yeah, I think it's teams don't get a choice on when they serve it. It's, I think the rule is it's a 5-second time penalty which you will serve at your next pit stop, and then it only gets added to your end of race time if you don't pit again, if you're going to the end of the race. So I think if you pit, you have to serve it. And then if you don't, then it's okay. You've cheated. So not ideal for Mr. Guan Yu Zhou, but better luck next time. Score some points. Moving on, P10, your man, Lewis Hamilton. Wow, what a weekend for the 7-time champion. Absolutely bossing it in his Mercedes to P16 in qualifying and P10 in the race. That's what I'm talking about. It's a 2 out of 10 for me. That's just, it's
Hey, it's 2 out of 10. Matt, if this is F1 2021, he gets driver of the day all day. He's plus, 6 positions or whatever. Okay, come on. Work it out. No, I'm joking. 2 out of 10 is harsh. Very harsh. Yeah, he had some good racing today. Some good overtakes. I'd give him a solid 6 for the weekend. I have high expectations of him, but I think you're being overly harsh. The strategy didn't help him whatsoever. I know he gained some track position, but he was slowly creeping up the order before the safety car. he was looking good starting on that hard tyre. But that's what we see from Lee Grayson, Matt. You know how it is. If you start on the hard, you know that you run that risk of if a safety car comes out early, it's going to ruin your strategy for the rest of the race. And that's what happened to Lewis there. He was just, I think he was trying to extend, hopefully, you know, trying to get a red flag or a full safety car. And he was very unfortunate as well, because that late VSC, which turned into,
just a VSC.
And then the pit lane was closed, you know, and K-Mag called it absolutely right. Come into the box before they closed the pit lane. Merck, what have they done? Have they swapped engineers with the Ferrari team? Because it looks that way to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
It looks that way.
Shambolic is what it is, really. I'm sure they could have pitted him, because the first time Lewis came by, the pit lane wasn't closed yet. Because he's ahead of Magnussen who got in.
It was very close. I think he was 200 metres past it when they called it. And he was on the radio already complaining about it like Lewis does. But yeah, poor strategy, poor execution. They should have seen that car on the side of the track and said, look, we need to box anyway. Let's not risk it. Let's get in now. Because it was so close. It was obvious that, you know, it was a very small margin to get in between the white line and not cross it and then get a penalty for not being within that bollard or whatever. So, yeah, very poor execution. I'll go over 6 for Lewis. Yeah, tough day at the office for him. And he's not happy. He is not happy.
Right. He got let off quite well with the fact that it was only a VSC as well. Because he didn't pit, if it then went to full safety car, he'd have been screwed.
He'd be absolutely screwed. Yeah, plumb lost.
And 20 seconds off the pack because he'd have had to pit still. So he'd be points today.
Retire the car would have been.
box retire the car. He's not happy, is he? Not good for Lewis. Mercedes are going to get that car sorted, aren't they? I can see it being like a McLaren 2009 season where they start the year, the car's like midfield, and by the end of it it's they're all right. They're not championship potential, but they're winning the odd race here and there. I reckon by around 20 Lewis will have got a victory this year.
Yeah, it's sort of giving me vibes of like when McLaren sort of fell off the boil in like 2012 kind of days. You know what I mean? They'd win the odd race throughout the season, but they wouldn't be absolutely dominating anymore. Red Bull and the other teams look to be coming to the fore. And the car, the package, they've lost a lot of key people, especially in the engine department to Red Bull powertrains as well. So even when Lewis crossed the line, he said, do I even get a point for P10? That's how often he finishes down in them positions. But yes, Lewis, you got a point. Did you deserve it? Maybe not in the grand scheme of things this weekend, but nonetheless, he'll take it.
Yeah. P9, big man, Kevin Magnussen. He was all right, wasn't he? Again, like you say, sort of a bit ruined by the strategy of starting on the hards. Because, as we've said, there never really came the ideal point to pit for them. So K-Mag, he did pretty well. He was battling with Fernando at one point. He was holding on quite nicely on the hard tyres. 6 out of 10?
I think that's... Again, he's still very fresh back in the car. I'd go with a 7. He started P10. He gained a position. Strategy didn't go his way today. Good pace in the car. That Ferrari power unit is looking mighty in the back of it as well. And strategy had to make that stop very late. But Haas getting it right with the call as well, bringing him in at the right time. Credit to him. Had a good little battle throughout the race as well. Some good racing. And got some points on the board for the Haas. At one point, we had Russell, K-Mag, Hamilton. Now, coming into this season, if you would have told me that on genuine pace, I would have said you're an absolute raving lunatic. But that is reality this season. And you know what? It's fucking lovely. You know, even as a Mercedes fan, I'm loving that.
Yeah, absolutely loving the big shake-up. Nice and refreshing after 8 years of Mercedes winning Constructors' Championships. Maybe, just maybe, someone else is going to do it this year. Moving up to P8. I kind of forgot he was in the race. Pierre Gasly. What did Gasly do today? Anything of interest?
Gasly raced around Saudi Arabia, apparently. That's what it says on his social media.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I think everyone behind him had incidents. I think that's the situation with Gasly. Always on a bad strategy.
Yeah. I think the race director just doesn't like him because we didn't see much of him throughout the Grand Prix. But nonetheless, Gasly doing Gasly things and being consistent, keeping his head down, getting the job done. I think that's a good day at the office. I would say a good day, but I'd expect more from him as well. I'll go with a 6, maybe a 7 out of 10. Car's not looking great either, is it?
No.
I'll go with a 7 considering the package they've got.
Okay. I will go... I've been harsh so far, so I'm going to stick to it and go with a 6. Because he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything special today. He's just there and didn't fuck up. So,
crash more, Gasly.
Just come on, Gasly. Just have a crash. Jeez, man. Moving on to P7, and this is someone I was quite impressed with. Lando Norris, P7, points to McLaren. Wow. They'll be happy with that. Narrowly missing out on P6 as well. Very nearly had Ocon, but good job, Lando. 6 points in the bag. 7.5 out of 10.
It's an 8. It's got to be an 8 out of 10, considering the first race, the troubles they've had, braking issues, etc. The car's not been easy to drive. We've seen Daniel Ricciardo, a seasoned veteran, really struggle with it. And even the qualifying wasn't great this weekend, was it? As he made up positions, he got it right on track. Some good battles throughout the race. Yeah, I'd go with an 8, Matt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job from him. And nice to see him back on the front foot.
Nice job, Lando. Hopefully McLaren hold that form. I think Jeddah was definitely a better track for them than...
it's a smoother track, less bumping, isn't it? So something he's struggling with. Yeah.
And less hard braking as well in Jeddah. There's like only 6 braking zones on the whole circuit. And most of them are low, medium braking. There's no real heavy braking.
True.
P6. We did speak about him earlier. Esteban Ocon. Like we say, a little bit aggressive with your teammate, especially
a
this
little bit.
Very
trying to kill him. He's trying to kill him, Matt.
That's fair. It was such a late move that first time. Like, there's a tiny little gap on the inside, and Alonso was a bit brave looking at it, but the way Ocon just darted across there, like, that so easily could have been 2 pink cars, one of them being Esteban Ocon, crashing into each other again.
Not good sportsmanship there. When it's your teammate, you've got to leave extra room. And if that was against a competitor, another team, say it was K-Mag or someone else, that would have been, I think the stewards would have thrown slapped him with a penalty or something, because it was downright dangerous. And good pace in the car and everything, but just because of that, I'm going to give him a 5, mate. I was not impressed with some of his driving standards today.
Yeah, I'm going with 6. Because I've said 6 a lot. I'm going with 6 because he was quick. Okay. I will allow him. He had a good quality. He has been fast all weekend. Just some dodgy driving with your teammate. Don't do it, Esteban.
Don't fuck with Fernando, mate. All right?
He's had a hard enough time with it, Fernando. Bless his cotton socks. Back DNFing again. Aye. And you know what? When that car was in limp mode, still faster than a McLaren Honda. Good stuff, Nando. P5, 10 points in the bag. George Russell, again, great job. Got the most out of that car. Much better than Lewis. 8 out of 10 for me. Absolutely smashed it.
Solid 8. Got qualifying right. And it's very chalk and cheese. The last race, I feel Hamilton outperformed him considerably. Of course, Hamilton's been way off in this one. Went a complete wrong direction in the setup. But Russell, nonetheless, had, I think, what was it, after about 10 laps, he was maybe, I'm saying about 15 seconds off the pace, 13 seconds off the pace. I mean, they are the front of the mid-pack at the minute, Mercedes, and they really need to pull their finger out because they are miles off it. But George Russell, pulling out all the stops. Damage limitation once again, good points on the board, and 4th in the driver standings, Matt.
Yeah, ahead of Hamilton. That's like the first time Hamilton has been behind a teammate since sometime early 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's doing, he did what needs to be done today. Mercedes, like you say, they're in a kind of no man's land, aren't they? They're like, no, not on it with Red Bull and Ferrari, but they are above the likes of Alfa Romeo and Haas and whoever else is making up the midfield right now.
On race pace, yes. On single lap pace, they are in the midfield. They are. But when it comes to race pace, the car looks a bit better, heavy fuel. And like Lewis, of course, you can't change the setup on the car. You can do a few clicks on the front wing, maybe a few bits of tyre pressures, etc. But yeah, he seemed a lot more content in the race, considering he was struggling with the rear end twitchiness of that car. And it wanted to over-rotate and kill him at every single opportunity on the low fuel. So, yeah, they need to get on top of it. But we're not going to see that until round 5, 6, 7, maybe. So, or even the midway point. They could bring an update. It doesn't work. And they're limited this year in terms of resources, budget, and et cetera. So, and they're finishing P1 in the constructors last year, Matt, is really going to bite them in the backside in terms of the R&D going forward, because they get the least time in the wind tunnel and CAD, whatever, they got the least time to spend on the car and resources in terms of money as well. So it's going to be a long up road struggle for them, and maybe they need to write this year off already. I hate to say it, but yeah, it's going to be tough. But Russell, number one driver in Mercedes, it looks like. Joking.
Yeah. Moving on then. P4, and this one kind of hurts me a little bit. Sergio Perez.
Oh.
Not good. Not good. He pulled out the lap of laps in qualifying. Led into turn one. He was doing what he needed to do. I think when... Oh, bye-bye, Richard's face. Oh, dear. Richard, your face is this... Oh, you're back, Rich. Come on, Rich. What's going on there? You're scaring me. I think Leclerc was going to get him. I think when they did the... when they say pit to overtake, I think that means box opposite. And I think I think Leclerc had the measure of Perez to come ahead, but Latifi crashed at the worst possible time, and that was a safety car that just ruined Perez's race, dropped him down to fourth. I say dropped him to fourth, dropped him to third, and then back to fourth again because he had to give up the position to Sainz. That was a slightly interesting one. I wasn't sure how they were going to deal with that, but in the end, let him go on the restart.
So, yeah, massively disappointing. I mean, the Ferrari master plan, they kind of suckered him in. Would they have boxed? I don't know. It was very early on, lap 15 or 50, and you're looking at a one-stop potential race. I think there was a lot more in the tyres at that point still. We've seen the undercut so OP with these new tyres, colder temperatures coming out the blankets, etc. I feel Ferrari really suckered in Red Bull, and that was Max, would they have reacted the same way? I don't know, Matt. I really don't. Maybe they would have been a bit more stronger minded to keep him out there, pulling the other driver. But because it was Checo, the safety car was deployed on the following lap, etc. And he lost out because of that. Sainz did cross the safety car line first. And that was seen on the camera. And it's up to the teams now to discuss it, see who's in the wrong, and talk to each other, instruct their drivers to let each other through and get on with the race. And we saw that on the restart. And I love that. You know what I mean? There's no bartering with that person that we don't talk about anymore over the radio. We're not going to do deals on the restart. We're not going to do anything, you know, because it's a promotional offer or anything nonetheless. And you've got a feel for Checo because great start. Pulled out. I don't know if Leclerc would have got him. I don't know. Because he looked in control at that point, Matt. He did. And when you're out front and you're getting hunted down, you pull out an extra bit of pace. But when you come out and you're in P3, you know you're going to have to go back to P4. It takes it out of you. Do you know what I mean? You don't have that same energy, that same pressure on your shoulders to push that extra, you know, 1% per lap or whatever. But yeah, it's great job from Checo this weekend. Just because of that, I'm going to give him a 7 out of 10 personally. It could have been a whole lot more, but that is racing. That is racing. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. He lost today. What was it? 215 appearances, his first pole position. A great milestone, and to beat such a fast driver in Max Verstappen as well. Yeah, credit where it's due. And yeah, you've gone up a few levels in my estimations, Checo.
Yep, 7.5 for me. Good quality, good start to the race. But once he lost that lead, he didn't really look like he was going to progress past Sainz, maybe. So yeah, 7.5. Good effort, Checo. Don't get fucked by Latifi. Moving on.
Latifi's gonna get
you. All part of the Glades Ferrari Master Plan. P3, Carlos Sainz. Decent, not great. Worked out nicely. He did nothing wrong. 7 out of 10 for me. He wasn't on the level of Leclerc again. Feel like that might be a bit of a repeating trend through the season. I think Charles will have the measure of his teammate this year. But yeah, he did all right. He beat Perez, got on a podium, decent points for the team. 7.5.
Yeah, I'll go over 7. I expect more out of him. On his day, he's more than capable to beat Charles. We've seen that. But Charles, when the car comes alive, so does he. And he pulls out that extra bit. He's got that champion within him. Sainz is not quite the finished article just yet. He reminds me of, you know, you're going to compare Lewis and Nico Rosberg. Nico needs to work a lot harder to extract all of it, whereas Lewis has got that racecraft, that inner talent within him. I think we're seeing a similar rivalry amongst them. And we will get a few duels in the desert and stuff like that if they're out in front by themselves. As the season progresses, but yeah, a lot more to come from Sainz. A bit disappointed. It was looking good in the first part of Q3, but yeah, work to do. He will win a race this year. He will win a race.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Moving on then to the front two. Wow, what a battle they put on for us. I was a bit worried about halfway through the race that, like, it was going to be a bit dull to the end, that Leclerc had the measure of Verstappen and that Max couldn't even pit again because he'd lose out to Sainz and Perez and probably the two Mercedes at that point as well. So I was thinking, oh, they're just going to cruise home and it's going to be a bit dull. But no, because with, like, 10 laps to go, Verstappen remembered to push the throttle pedal all the way down. He got a bit confused the rest of the race. And he remembered, oh, I've got a couple centimetres left here. And he found some pace. And my goodness, did they have an entertaining and strange battle in the final laps.
Reminiscent of F1 2020, 2021 racecraft here. We're suckering each other in into the realms of DRS. No, you have it. Like in Baku, you know, like you don't want to have it going down that main street. Being so close, and yeah, great minds and the strategy. Jensen, as a commentator, was talking about it, like how great it was to see between them. Charles was immense through sector one, and then we saw the low drag setup come alive through sectors 2, 3, and down that main straight once again. And it was a real battle because we had so much aero on that Ferrari. They went for the higher aero. Red Bull went for the slipstream, based on last year succumbing to Mercedes straight line speed on the final rounds there. But Charles drove his heart out. I mean, I'm going to give him a 9 out of 10 for his performance today. I thought he drove out of his skin. He done everything he could. And I really thought if them yellow flags hadn't come out in them final laps, Matt, I thought he could have mounted a charge. Maybe he just didn't have the straight line speed in the car because he was edging to within half a second in those final few sectors, but couldn't get it done today. But yeah, they put on one hell of a show. One hell of a show for us today.
Yes, I agree. Just while the, we're on this, where you mentioned yellow flags, we saw on that last lap where, was it Albon had pulled over, where the yellow flags were at the end of sector one.
Yeah.
That was, I didn't like that. The fact that Max definitely slowed up a lot more than Charles did for that. And that's the thing I really don't like about yellow flags. There's this ambiguity about how much do you have to slow down? Because it's not like a BSC where there's a clear delta, you must slow down and do this time. The yellow flag is just, you have to display that you've slowed down a certain amount, but how much is too much? Because you don't want to give up time, and I don't like it. I'm not a fan of the yellow flag.
Yeah, we saw, who is it, Max getting on the radio saying he closed up in that sector. And that's not fair. One thing I was concerned for safety, you know, maybe the driver's going to jump out the car, you know, and there's someone hits the curb the wrong way, like we saw with Mick, and spears off into the barrier. It should have been neutralized at that point. In that kind of circuit there, yes. I feel like it should have been a VSC or something pulled out. Any kind of incident around this kind of circuit, you need to go safety first. And again, is it for the cameras? Did we do it for the entertainment purposes? Needs to be reviewed, because I was concerned. Of course, I want Charles to have a go at him, but it wasn't right. It wasn't right. And yeah, it needs to be looked at. Yeah, valid point, Matt.
Yeah, I when he pulled over, I said to my dad straight away that, oh, that'll be a VSC race over. And I think any other lap of the race, had that been lap 30, we'd have had a VSC, probably maybe even a full safety car, if they needed to get a crane on the track to move that car.
If it's lap one, it's a straight VSC. It's non-negotiable. The driver's got to get out the car and whatever, but it's like, okay, it's the last lap. Just carry on. You didn't see nothing. Just
and local yards. It's just not on for me. And I think it was like that same bit of track that Mick crashed yesterday. It is so easy to lose it. And I don't know. I was not a fan of that. But in the end, great win for Verstappen. Great drive for Leclerc. I'd give Leclerc a 9, Verstappen a 10, because Verstappen won and Leclerc didn't. I think I was getting some flashbacks of the race last year when they were coming down the back straight and braking really heavily because they wanted the DRS. I was like, where have we seen this one before? Oh, yeah, it's when the vein came out in Richie's head. The weird thing for me, Max kept coming down that back straight. Max kept pulling out to the side. I was like, well, you're just allowing Leclerc to brake. If you sit behind him, Leclerc has to go. He can't just slam the brakes on, because then it's a brake check and the vein in Richie's head comes out, because Richie doesn't like brake checks.
Yeah, I think the two incidents were slightly different. It's the same piece of the racetrack at the end of the day. Max definitely jumped on the brakes a lot heavier. I feel this time around, who is it? I think Leclerc lifted off. I think he lifted off. He didn't actually apply the brakes or any, you know, tried to slow down dramatically. And the first time Max sailed around the outside?
Yeah.
Took it, and then Leclerc came back at him. But that's the great thing, like Jensen was saying on the radio, was like, you have the opportunity to have a go again. We saw it in Bahrain. He's like, okay, go on then. You know, you're going to brake so much heavier. I'm going to brake nice and early on the apex, get on the power earlier. But Charles, I think his downfall in this race as well was out the final corner. The car was very unsettled. The rear end was twitching. We saw it on a number of occasions, looking on his rear wing, etc. The car moving around. And that just didn't help his overtaking possibilities. But Max, I can't give him a 10. I don't think he was at his absolute best today. I think there's a lot more levels to him. I'd give him an 8, if anything. I think that, he's got a few more gears to go through. And he's gone up my estimations, because he's driven a lot more clean than he has with Hamilton. Hamilton pushed him to the ragged edge. Don't get us wrong in that last year. But this year, coming in, he knows it's a fair cop from the off here. And Leclerc and him go back a long way. We've seen the karting video and et cetera, and the rivalry that's been brewing for a long time. But I'm enjoying this. This is going to be legendary this year. Ferrari versus Red Bull. I'm a big fan of it, and I don't know which side of the fence to sit on. I'm going to sit on Carlos and Checo's shoulders for the rest of the season and just enjoy whatever happens.
Yeah, I think that is probably the best way to go about it. There you go, then. Two rounds complete. Leclerc, still your championship leader. He is 12 points clear now of Carlos Sainz. Verstappen, a further 8 points back in P3. Red Bull starting their recovery after they did not get away well in Bahrain over in the constructor standings. Ferrari, absolutely miles clear. 78 points for Ferrari. Second is Mercedes still on 38 points. Ferrari have already got over double the points of their nearest rivals. That's mad for two races.
It's mad, but what are we now? How many races do we have? Currently 22 for this year, minus Sochi. Yeah. I want to say so. There's a hell of a long way to go, and things can and will happen. And with the battle being this close at the front, it's anyone's for the taking. You know, Red Bull a long way off it. You know, that first round has really hit them in the nuts. Ferrari, let's hope they continue the pace. Mercedes will come strong and start to tax points off of the top two teams, as I'm going to call them now. And yeah, we haven't really seen the blend of circuits. Where do we go? Imola next?
Who's Australia next?
Oh, Australia. Yeah, Australia. Sorry. So another street circuit. And that's going to be fascinating as well. The new layout there, higher speed nature. Yeah. Really looking forward to that, and I'm happy for the Australian fans because they've had it tough since the absolute start of COVID, when they got to the racetrack and it was told go home. That was poor from the F1, but yeah, a lot to look forward to this season. And if you had to put your money on it, I mean, you're going to get good odds either way because it's wide open, absolutely wide open. It's all going to be about the development rate now. Who's going to extract the tyres the best? Strategy. There's a lot of unknown, a lot of variables. Yeah, it's going to be a mega season, man.
For sure. Absolutely. And just one brief final point. I just want to bring up Mick Schumacher. I know he didn't race today. I would like to see something from him in Australia because he was definitely behind Magnussen in Bahrain, and he was definitely looking like he was going to be behind again this weekend. I'd like to see something from him to prove that he is worthy of his place in Formula One and maybe a worthy future champion.
Yeah, I feel like, you know what he's like. He struggles to adapt to a new formula. You know, we've seen that when he goes into F2. We've seen it when he comes into F1. And it's almost a new formula for him once again. And he has to adapt his driving style, etc. He should have been into Q3 based on his pace this weekend. And he could have picked up potentially his first points. He didn't. But I think points are on the radar this season. But yeah, it's a good yard marker with K-Mag in the team. Australia, I don't think he's ever driven around Australia as well. So that's going to be a tough ask for him, a real tough ask. And he could have raced this weekend. The team come out and said, you know, we could have built a car for him. But if he had another accident in the race, there wouldn't be enough spare parts for the Australian Grand Prix. So they took the view of like, okay, let's go into Australia with a fresh car, a fresh weekend, and let's give it a good go. So that's pretty ominous in itself that they're saying they don't trust him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you. They obviously would have taken into account the fact it would have been a whole car rebuild because that was a big shunt. There's major damage. He probably would have been starting from the pit lane. Maybe they felt it wasn't worth it for this weekend. They'd be better off just waiting for next weekend when they can guarantee they'll get him a car that he can qualify around about 10th-ish and go from there. But yeah, not good for Haas to have to do a big rebuild. Yeah.
Cost cap environment. This is bloody expensive. That's going to be a new chassis, gearbox, engine, the works, mate. How much is an F1 car cost to build?
quite a lot.
Yeah,
it's not cheap, and especially for a team that have recently lost their title sponsor for good reason. But you know, I imagine cash flow isn't fabulous for Haas right now, so not what you want to see for them. I hope that it's not got too many major implications.
So from just £2 a week, you couldn't sponsor a bus to compete in the F1 calendar. We'll send you signed photos and keep you up to date with Haas's progress throughout the season. Just a little endorsement for them there. What else we got to talk about? I think the commentary has been pretty poor from the start of the season. I think it's not been exhilarating. I feel we've missed Brundle this weekend. We had JB in the booth. I prefer to see Nico Rosberg. I think he's amazing in the booth, if we could have got him here. But what's his name? Alex, is it? From F1 Channel?
Alex Jakes.
Yeah. He needs to step up into the big leagues. I mean, he's more of a Crofty, isn't he, in the booth, because he's got that passion, that adrenaline. But we missed Brundle this weekend, I felt, on the commentary. The race director as well, at times, missed a lot of overtakes as well, focusing on battles that he shouldn't have been doing. So hopefully they sort that out. We had the Rogue Marshal this weekend. Did you see that on Twitter, Matt?
Did we? We have another one.
Yeah, wishing death upon Lewis Hamilton. A marshal at the circuit that subsequently got ejected from his position going into the weekend. He tweeted out that he hoped Lewis would suffer a similar crash to Roman Grosjean, but succumbed to his injuries. And that was very concerning to see, but the FIA dealt with that very swiftly, and glad to see that as well. The F1 Twitter community quickly jumping on that and bringing that to light. Even coming into practice this weekend, Matt, we had the missile attack at the Aramco site, and everything thrown into question. Drivers have holding a 3 to 4 hour meeting about the ethics of racing here at Saudi Arabia. Now, do we come back here next year? I mean, we've got a long-term contract. Money talks, but we're very finely poised at this minute. Safety and well-being of our drivers, you know, that's what I was fearing coming into this weekend as well. I fear for the drivers, the teams, everyone's safety. Can you imagine if something happened? That was 12 miles from the circuit, 10 kilometers, whatever it is. And that was at an Aramco facility. Now, this race is sponsored by Aramco, so you know, going forward, that could be a more of a prime target. Of course, there'd be high security around the circuit, but considering what's going on in the world, we've just got rid of the Russian Grand Prix because of war. We've just seen in Bahrain, no war and this and that, but we've got the Yemeni rebels doing missile attacks very close to home. Who is it? Max even getting on the radio saying he could smell the smoke from the oil fire. I mean, that needs to be considered, and all things considered, I don't think we should be racing in Saudi Arabia. What are your thoughts?
After last year, I was unsure. I was a bit like, we've only had one race. I don't want to pass judgment. Let's just see what happens when we have a race that isn't kind of all in the, oh my God, Verstappen's just brake-checked Hamilton and the vein in Richie's head has come out. This year, I think we saw once again the danger of the circuit.
Yeah, too, especially.
Was it Chem Bulabasi who got concussed? I hope he's doing all right.
Same last year, wasn't it? It was a disaster in F2 last year.
Yeah, F2 is weird this weekend. The sprint race, they had 20 laps. I think they got all of about 6 racing laps in their 20. I think the rest of it was under safety car. And then they did the feature race today and they did 27 laps. Absolutely fine, no issues. Bit weird, but I don't know. They do what they want. but yeah, I think it's not a place we should be racing. If I'm honest, I think there are plenty of other circuits we should be going to instead.
And we're getting too greedy as well. We've already got 23 races, way too many for the teams, for the drivers in the cost cap environment. I think that 20 would be more than sufficient, and even 18 was decent. So, yeah, F1 needs to stop being so greedy. Other things I've got noted down here, how awesome does a safety car look and sound this year? It's an absolute beast of a car. She's looking fine. Fernando, some of his overtakes, Ocon trying to go off track to stay with him. Checo, the first pole of his career, 215 races. How happy can you be from him? Leclerc, no flashing lights working on the back of his car to indicate that his car is in recharge mode. Surely that must have to be working, no, Matt?
Yeah, I think from it a safety standpoint, must have to be working. But it's a standard part, that, isn't it, on all the cars? And so I imagine, as long as Ferrari haven't intentionally turned it off, it's just a bit of dodgy reliability. It is the only time I've ever seen it not working. So I don't know. Maybe we'll let it off just this once. But yeah.
A lot of the retirements today, Ricciardo and Alonso in particular, looks like both of the power units have failed on downshifts as well. I don't know if there's anything into that. Maybe downshifting too early in these new power units with the new or less tech on the units themselves. But yeah, definitely something to look at for the teams. And Crofty, I've got a quote here during the race. We look at Mike Crack at the pit wall. He said them words. We look at Mike Crack. And the way he said it, it said, we look at my crack. I thought that was very, very funny this week.
Yes, I heard that as well.
Leclerc crossing the white line at pit entry multiple times. And did he cross it sufficiently? Or does he have to cross the bollard, just to clarify for the fans, Matt?
I don't remember what it is. It varies. I saw several drivers do it. It wasn't just Leclerc. I saw big like trains of cars where they all just drove over the white line. Maybe the stewards decided that flipping heck, they're all doing it. Just let it go. I don't even know what the rule is there. I've always assumed before you can't cross the white line on the pit entry unless you're actually coming in for a pit stop. But evidently, that's not the case. So I don't know.
Well, I know there's some circuits and some other formulas where they have like a commitment cone, as they call it, or bollard. And once that's the point of no return, as it were. At the end of the race, we saw, who is it? So I think it was Leclerc or someone forget to come into the pit lane. And I was just begging that they didn't penalise him for that. But yeah, great weekend of action. I'll be glad it went ahead. I mean, we was provided with some great entertainment this weekend. But yeah, drivers were up to 2 or 3 a.m. at the circuit discussing if they should have been there at all. Who knows? But we head to Australia. The championship is on. Ferrari are in the hot seat. Max has taken his first win of the year. That's going to give him great confidence. Checo looks like he's a great number two driver. Mercedes look nowhere. And we're loving Haas.
We're loving Haas.
Are everyone's second team this year. Like McLaren have been in previous years. Haas are just the feel-good factor. Long may that continue. Gunther, we're looking like a bunch of absolute legends this year. And long may that continue. Anything else to discuss, Matt, from the first round to now?
A couple updates while we've been talking. Alexander Albon has been given a 3-place grid drop for the Australian Grand Prix for the collision with Lance Stroll, and the stewards have taken no further action with regards to possible rule breaches under yellow flags on the final two laps.
No further action. So that means he didn't not adhere to it, or just said, no, you can get away with it. Again, in the sake of entertainment, I hope that is not the case. Of course, we've got a big reshuffle this year in terms of the drivers, stewards, room, etc. It's a lot more refreshing not to have the teams on the radio. And the drivers, we don't hear too much team radio as much as we used to this year, Matt.
Yeah, I think that's because Max and Lewis aren't whinging about each other anymore. We haven't yet reached that level of intensity that we got to last year. I imagine I saw someone comment on Instagram on a post about the battle between Leclerc and Verstappen. And they're like, oh, and it's so great how they've got such respect for each other. And I was like, yeah, you just wait. Give them halfway through the season when it's them two battling out for the championship. We'll see if they've got respect for each other then. I think that situation could very easily change.
Yeah, there will become a point where there's a line crossed between the pair of them. Well, we saw with Lewis last year, Lewis just said, okay, after you, sir. Then it got to Silverstone. It's like, no, fuck you. Get off the circuit and let's have a 50G crash because, you know, there's a tight one on the line. And it's going to be a turning point in this season. It will boil over. When will it happen? Let us know in the comments because it's going to come very thick, very fast. And who is your prediction for the World Drivers Championship? Let us know. Matt is, of course, going red. I'm going to go red as well. Yeah, it's going to be Charles's year. I've got a feeling he's looking good, Matt, don't you think?
He's looking fabulous. But he didn't win today, even though he probably should have done. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, let's see. There's going to be some thrills, some spills. There's going to be different circuits, different layouts. Like we've seen today, the Mercedes looked a bit more alive because there wasn't as heavy braking zones. The porpoising really affects them teams in the heavy braking zones where the car is bouncing around. You're trying to get it slowed down. Max looks like he can absolutely send it. And Matt, how he locked up that hard and didn't have a massive flat spot as well is beyond me going into that final corner. But again, Leclerc just held it around the outside. There's so many iconic images of this season already between the battle of these two. And it didn't look like it coming into this weekend. It looked like Checo versus Leclerc or something, but we still found ourselves with Max versus Charles. Let's get it on. Let's get to Albert Park. When we head in there, Matt, how much longer we got now?
2 weeks for Albert Park.
2 weeks to wait. My God.
Honestly, what are we going to do next weekend? There's no Grand Prix on.
I think a bigger shake-up this year as well is the tyres, Matt. You know, like from last year to this year. We briefly spoke about it last year, but going for such a low-profile tyre, you know, the 13-inch, we had so much sidewall on the tyre. But that's half the problem with porpoising because you've got that's half the suspension in an F1 car is just the movement in the sidewall, absorbing all that shock, etc. But this year, it's a massive unknown. We thought there could be massive tyre deg this weekend. There wasn't. Lewis was, 39 laps on the hard tyre? He could have run to the end, I think, as well, and would have got away with it. In Bahrain, no chance of that. The hard tyre wouldn't turn on. The mediums and the softs got chewed up very, very quickly. And no team has data on it. And they'll wait till we get to a hot, like Barcelona or something like that. It's going to be absolutely mental. And we're going to love to see it.
We will indeed. I love it. Just the unknowns. Is the tyre going to be good? Is it not? DRS as well. A bit different.
Way too OP.
Yeah. This weekend was too much for sure. They need to cut it down. I think.
I think like it's still necessary in the current formula to make it exciting, but I would trim maybe a third off each deployment zone or something to that extent. And do you keep the same detection point? Do you keep it into the final braking zone to keep this kind of action, or do you keep it on the exit of a corner because you've got that less third of a deployment zone so they can attack and have a go at each other? They're things that F1's going to have to look at as well because it's a big unknown. The slipstream doesn't seem as big of an advantage, but cars can follow so much closer. We saw Lewis, particularly, I noted in the first third of the race, he could just follow through sector 1, 2, and then have a go into that long banked hairpin and pull some moves out. But the formula's great. The racing's great. It's good to see Charles at the front of the order. Big fan of his. He dominated F2 when he was there, and he had a decent car. And long may it continue. Any closing words from you, Matt?
No, just let's hope that the battle continues throughout the season. It's good to see that both teams have already got one race win each. That's normally a good sign that they'll both be there in the title fight.
Okay, Haas are going to win in Albert Park, and we're going to make it 3 out of 3 constructors for the season. Thank you for joining the Talking Twats podcast. I have been Big Dicky, and this has been Matt. We'll see you again soon. Thanks for watching, and ciao for now.
Bye.